Come on, you tiny little wreck, have a drink. We're drinking to women.
The United States Supreme Court has described it as dirt for dirt's sake.
There's not just like some whiny guy up there crying about how his girlfriend left him, you know, he's gonna slit his wrist. It's a rock and roll show. Oh, it's about happiness and all right, maybe this is some not so happy shit.
Drink up, man. We got 2 6-packs to kill.
Sort of like, you know, communal, let's all get together and have a big orgy feeling.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity, the teachers of unnatural sex acts, had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
Remember what I said. I'm gonna kill you.
Certainly.
Hello and good afternoon. This is Boris. I'm here with Snake Alley at GaragePunk.com. You know, some people say that the slicing of flesh is not a thing of beauty. Their minds have been twisted. So pick up your knife, kiddies, and go into your dark, dark bedroom, and I'll be in later to bite your navel.
Mal Thursday, host of Florida Rocks Again here on GaragePunk.com. You're listening to Snake Alley.
All right, welcome back to Snake Alley. Finally, after a pretty extended hiatus with equipment problems, just all kinds of things delaying us, we're back with the second season of Snake Alley. After a successful first season of 6 episodes, and gone is my old G4, and we're doing everything on a brand new Mac Mini dual core 166 gigahertz tiny computer, and everything seems to be working out good. Thanks for Apple coming up with an affordable machine that I can get, and of course I'm always joined by my partner crime here, Jeff Reinhardt. How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, it's wonderful to be back on our second season. We have some action-packed episode movies, which we will review today. But first off, and I believe Bob would like to introduce this, tell them about our first film we'll be reviewing today, Bob.
Well, it's from 1960. It's Roger Corman's Z-Grade, second on the bill. It's The Last Woman on Earth. It is, of course, like Roger always did, was wanting to film two movies on each location every trip, and this one was the B subject feature film when he went down to Puerto Rico to shoot The Battle of Blood Island, which also came out in 1960. They probably both appeared on the same drive-in bill together, as usual.
Now, I will add this right off the bat, and I think Bob will completely agree with me. The female lead in this movie, The Last Woman on Earth, is Patsy Jones-Moreland. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've seen a hell of a lot of movies in my life, but for the life of me, I can't remember seeing her in anything else.
She looks like a lot of other, you know, starlets from back then.
I mean, she's very easy on the eyes and nice to look at.
She's a knockout.
Oh, yeah.
She's a nice last woman on earth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, nobody would kick her out of bed for eating crackers. And then, billed second in the movie is the nefarious Anthony Carbone.
Oh, yeah, acting like Humphrey Bogart in this one.
Absolutely. I mean, he does. The thing is, he actually resembles Bogey a little bit when Bogey was in his early 40s. And actually, the third actor billed is the unlikely person of Edward Weiss, or Edward Weiss, whatever the hell you want to pronounce it, who actually is the screenplay writer of the movie. Who is it, Bob?
Robert Towne.
Yeah, see, Robert Towne went on to become a big shot screenplay
Chinatown.
Writer. Chinatown, that's right, for John Huston.
Yeah, he's no slouch, but here he is, getting his feet wet, so to speak, with Roger Corman. Getting his feet wet, they go scuba diving, while they're scuba diving, down here in Puerto Rico. It's a lawyer, his wife, and his accountant, I think.
Yeah, I think
it's... And his accountant. And they go scuba diving, and while they're scuba diving, I guess atomic bombs go off or something, and all the oxygen's been removed from the air, and they're the last three people on Earth, as far as I know. There's no radio transmissions. There's nothing like that going on. Let's go ahead and check out a little bit of it, and we'll come back and talk more about it. Here it is, 1960, Roger Corman's Last Woman on Earth. I almost said Bucket of Blood. Anyway, here it is.
Another Roger Corman epic.
Not to.
Help! Help!
Oh, looks like I'll have to carry both of you. Night, night.
Something's wrong. Put your mask back on.
Maybe we come up too fast or something.
Leave it on till we get back to the ship.
We've got to do something, Martin.
I gotta have a drink.
Scotch?
Please.
What happened?
Bigger and better bomb. Act of God. What difference does it make? The result's the same. Harold, take it easy.
What for?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Martin, we've got to do something. Maybe we can go back to New York.
And see 7 million bodies stinking up the streets? No thanks.
Now listen, Martin, I don't like the idea of being in a world of dead bodies any more than you do.
We can't stay here. In a couple of days, the stench alone would choke us.
Hey, Morty. He's got a house on the tip of the island.
Let's get going. I don't like it here.
Martin. The reason why I called you up here is because I think we ought to decide just exactly what we're going to do.
Harold, there's probably enough canned food here to last years. And if we should run out, we can always hold our noses and drive back to town for more.
You're not making it any easier.
Could it be much easier? The lush island of Puerto Rico, a lush villa, and a whole life to be nothing but a lush in.
Morning. Anybody here know how to roll their own?
Evelyn, don't you think you ought to finish dressing?
I no longer see the reason for catching fish we'll never be able to eat.
All right, Martin. What do you want to do?
To look at many things, not just fish.
What's the matter, Martin? You afraid if you look at a fish too long, you begin to look like one?
Maybe, Harold. Maybe that's exactly what I'm afraid of.
Boy, oh boy. It's certainly a good thing the world ended when it did, because you never would have made it, boy, never.
Made what, Harold? A millionaire? Money? Money and fish. Fish and money. Harold, if rotten money smelled like rotten fish, they'd have given you a bank to yourself. Yes, sir, Mr. Gern. The way you made your money, stank. The way you catch fish, stinks. And furthermore, Harold, you stink.
I don't see any church. What's the matter, Harold? Are you afraid that the biggest banker of all wouldn't approve?
There are no more bankers, no more churches, and no more God.
No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks.
Pretty silly to stick around and look after you. I mean, Harold, you can take care of things all by yourself. You can run the world all by yourself, can't you, Harold?
My eyes are dim. I cannot see. I have not brought my specs with me. My eye hurts, huh?
Okay. That was the dramatic ending to The Last Woman on Earth. Robert Towns there. And he was actually the writer on the movie. And I guess the Roger Corman hired him as an actor or something and fit him in there. Pretty bad.
Yeah, the only thing I can figure out them using Robert Towne also as an actor is to keep costs down. I figured, well, if we go ahead and not only have him do the screenplay and also act in it, that's killing two birds with one stone. At least that's probably Roger's philosophy.
Yeah, like usual, two movies, one stone, too, you know?
Oh, and again, I mean, like, I know that Roger probably shot this in record time. This was not really his fault, but a lot of the key lighting setups were sort of, what's the best word for it, washed out.
Lousy.
Yes.
If they had any at all.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like they used much at all. It's a great set. I mean, it's just set in Puerto Rico. It's nice. It's got a real hip little pad with the stereo built in the wall. And the first thing that kills me is when they come up and they realize, oh, no, we're the last people on Earth.
Yeah.
And first thing they do is they raid the Hilton for the booze.
Mm-hmm.
And haul the booze back to this neat little cottage that's out there on the, I don't know what it's called, but nice little beach house, let's say.
Oh, and watch for...
And they get hammered up and they fish. That's all they do.
Watch for one nefarious scene when, towards the end, Robert Towne and Anthony Carbone are beginning to get into it over Betsy. Because, as you'll see, the main antagonist of the scene is Martin, played by Robert Towne. And you can see in the corner of the frame Anthony Carbone throwing the net into the water, except for one thing in the transitional scene right after that, he doesn't even have his hands on the net rope.
Yeah, there's lots of goofs in it. But hey, you know, it's Roger Corman. It's one of his B features. And it's actually not bad. There is the sound doesn't sound too good. It sounds like they had one microphone, and that's all they could afford. There's a lot of underwater shots that are obviously filmed like all at one time. All those underwater shots all look the same as they have. And this movie's up on archive.org. And do you have anything else to say about it, Jeff?
Well, actually, the pacing for, you know, being a low-budget film like this, you know, and where you've only got maybe three key actors in the whole damn thing, it's actually monumental to see that Roger was even able to do it.
But it's worth watching. It's up there on archive.org. If you download the largest file, which is suitable for DVD burning, it's not bad. I downloaded it. Might take a long time for you to encode, depending on what kind of system you got. But it's not a bad transfer. And I forgot to mention that the first, we heard some music at the beginning of the show. And I really need to get better at this because I've been neglecting to mention the bands and the labels that are providing music for Snake Alley. And first we heard the Cripplers from their 2001 release on Dionysus Records. If you didn't know, Jeff, Dionysus is, I think, the Greek god of wine, women, and song.
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah. And we heard, let's see, Church of the Holy Spook from their CD, and it's on vinyl. They released it on vinyl as well, which is rare these days. One more for the bad guys. Mm-hmm. The Cripplers were from Columbia, Missouri, and they came up here to St. Louis, and they used to haul their equipment around, their band around in a hearse. So oh, it's cool. Wow. Whenever you go to the High Point, you would see this hearse point, you know, parked out there. You knew the Cripplers were playing that night. So pretty cool. But they're still playing together in some sort of farm. And anyway, and then right after that, we heard a selection called Scandal by King and the Chessmen or somebody like that. I forgot. Scandal by King and the Knights. That's it. From about 1965 from the compilation Think of the Good Times on Bacchus Archives. Another god of wine, but we're drinking beer. Anyway, we're going to hear something here from Illbilly Records, Kicked in the Head. Let's check this one out. It's about drinking. Big surprise.
Well, I woke up all alone after a night of getting stoned. I opened up my eyes and all I feel is pain in my head and in my heart. I just can't tell them apart. So I reach for the bottle to start all over again. Well, I jump in my own car and head down to my favorite bar. But all the strippers look a lot like you. Well, I drink my favorite beer till it drives me out of my head. And when I get drunk, there's just the thing I do. Well, I pop and I whine and it rolls around, I cry. I just take the blame, but it never feels the same. Well, I pop and I whine and it rolls around, I cry. I just take the blame and curse your goddamn name. I just take the blame and curse your goddamn name. Well, you know that I will probably go insane. Look at that coming at ya. There's just one thing I do. Well, I pop and I whine, and no one's around, I cry. I just drink the blame, but I never feel the same. Well, I pop and I whine, and no one's around, I cry. I just drink the blame and curse your goddamn name. Well, I just drink the blame and damn.
All right. That was Drink and Complain by the Agriculture Club.
You know, I was sitting here listening to this, and do you know the fantastic resonance of this song reminded me just like it was something Buddy Holly and the Crickets would have done today. Think about it.
Yeah, I guess so. It does. Sounds so. I don't know about that, but you know, he's not around today, so we really can't find out. Anyway, that's off the Dropped on the Head comp from Illbilly Records. That's from 2001. You can send me new stuff. You can contact me through the blog or the vlog that up there on GaragePunk.com and send me MP3 files, and I can play your stuff if you want. Remember, you're listening to Snake Alley here on GaragePunk.com, and all podcasts all the time. Jeff, we're going to be looking at another movie, and this movie is a little bit better than the last one, isn't it?
This one is a gem of a low-budget film, and I don't mind telling you that it is one of my favorite Vincent Price films.
That's right, from 1964, it's The Last Man on Earth, starring Vincent Price, St. Louis's own art dealer, art critic, and son of Candy...
Druggist Candyman.
Druggist Candyman, yeah. And this is a great movie. This film was originally going to be produced by Hammer Films of Great Britain, and they decided not to make it, passed the script over to their U.S. associate, Robert L. Lippert, who produced the film in Italy. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about Lippert there?
Actually, Mr. Robert L. Lippert, to my knowledge, started out in either the late 40s or early 50s producing low-budget westerns. One that I had seen was entitled The Tall Texan with, I believe it was Lee J. Cobb and Lloyd Bridges as the Tall Texan. Now, also in 1951, Mr. Lippert also produced the first full-length Superman feature entitled Superman and the Mole Man. Also, one of his later efforts, about 1964, also was The Return of Mr. Moto, starring Henry Silva as Mr. Moto.
Ha! And that's a weird one.
That was actually, I've seen it several times for, I think it was shot partially in Europe, but it was very well made.
Okay, well, back to this movie. Actually, this was taken from a novel. What is it? I don't know.
Actually, it was the famous Richard Matheson novel, I Am Legend.
Which was came back as The Omega Man.
That was made about 1972 with Charlton Heston. Also, Matheson penned and wrote The Incredible Shrinking Man.
Okay, well, this movie has post-apocalyptic zombies. I almost said post-apocalyptic Nazis, but it's a post-apocalyptic zombies, and it's very similar to a movie. Don't say it. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. I know you wanted to spit it out because there's a big similarity here. It's a very stark movie. It's The Last Man on Earth, and let's take a little look at it.
Another day to live through. Better get started. There was a time when eating was pleasurable. Now it bores me. Just fuel for survival. I'll settle for coffee and orange juice this morning. But first, there's my life. I can't live a heartbeat away from hell and forget it. Perfect. Just wide enough to keep the flesh apart so their body seal can't function. And how many more of these will I have to make before they're all destroyed? They want my blood. Their lives are mine. And I still get squeamish.
Who's there?
The sun's already set. They'll be everywhere.
Morgan! We're going to kill you, Morgan! Morgan! You hear? Morgan!
Man, what a great, great flick. Can't really say much bad about it, but boy, George A. Romero definitely watched this one a few times.
This was definitely, this movie definitely must have really set the pace for George A. Romero when he did Night of the Living Dead. I mean, just the foreboding photography, the makeups on the vampire zombies, and I'll tell you also, the music in this movie is excellent. I put it right up there with some of the work that was used, I believe it was in some of Roger Corman's Edgar Allan Poe movies. Very, very good. As also is the photography. And some of the day for night photography was very well handled, as was the straight night photography, very well lit. You know, the film, and I think Bob must have mentioned this already, but this gem was shot in Italy. The only real actors
I did mention it.
That were American, I believe, was Vincent Price. The rest were Italian.
Yeah, basically. But it's supposed to be set in America, or in the United States.
Yeah.
And what it is a plague. This time, the zombies don't... This is really, you know, now that I, you know, when you look at it, it's like, yeah, this is the first really American zombies, because you would have always the zombies were like in White Zombie, where they're under a spell and they're in voodoo, you know, usually in high day, high tie. That's what, it's Haiti, but
yeah,
Harry Carey would say, high tie.
Yeah.
And so now this is the modern zombie flick that really broke through to the modern zombie.
Oh, and listen, listen to the excellent score by Paul Sautel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is excellent. I put it right up there with, like I said, some of the music that was used with Roger Corman's Poe films.
Yeah, and it's really good. You got to check it out. Like I say, there's nothing bad about it, and how it ever wound up on archive.org, I don't know, but it's definitely there for your download. I downloaded it, burned it to DVD. It's not bad. There's other prints of it out there. It's available otherwise. Jeff has a good copy. Of course, the clips that we used were not from that copy. It was definitely, everything's downloaded from archive.org. We're pod safe. Music network, garagepunk.com. Everything you use is basically off the net.
That's right.
Like that.
That's right. Just adding to what I may have said already, the montage and flashback sequences in this little gem are very, very well handled for a low budget film.
Yeah, there's a lot of breaks in continuity of it, but it's really good. And, we're going to go ahead, we've got an extended episode going on here, and we're going to go ahead and take another musical interlude. Enjoy.
Well, what are you waiting for? Why don't you go on and use it? Get it over with. Use it. Get it over with.
Again, kiddies, this is Morris wishing you a happy evening and AM. Oh, by the way, you know why they put a gate around the graveyard, don't you? Because people are just dying to get in. Ta-ta.
Okay, Edward. It's time. Time. I hear the children of the night. They call for me. Okay, Edward. Be good boy.